the fastest, quickest, smoothest footwork. He is the Fred Astaire of jiu-jitsu, the Fred Astaire of judo, but he's the Dom DeLuise of pizza eating. I don't get this.
Everybody wake up.
Time to wake up. Time to start the day. Wake up late with Dougie. He's the only
wake
way.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late.
Everybody.
Wake up late.
Wake up late.
Wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie.
It's time to wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. What rhymes with Dougie? He's just so funny.
It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Live from Danger Studios. Chorus praising, now you know.
We're the hottest show in this
place.
Wake
up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
I said one, two, three. Everybody wake up. Live from Danger Studios in Coral Springs, Florida. It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Starring Dougie Almeida. Now, let's start the show.
Hey, what's up? Welcome, everybody, to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. I'm Dougie Almeida, and Ciro Dobrik's joining me today.
Howdy, howdy.
Ethan Moore is out. He's got a trip to China he's going to or something, so he had to get his diplomatic papers.
Yeah, they show his
diplomatic papers. All in order. And but you know what? Dude, we got a lot to talk about anyway. You know what I mean?
There's nothing more to talk about than all these hypocritical bastards out there.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Robert De Niro going on there and dropping the F-bomb on the Tonys, which is fine. You know, it's just a word. And, you know, say, fuck Trump. You know, we know he didn't like him. He said he was going to punch him in the face at one point, right?
Yeah, he's a...
He said he was going to...
He's a scumbag.
Well, you know.
No, that's what he called him.
Oh, he called...
He's a scumbag.
Yeah.
He's a...
Listen, that's fine. You know, we all can't like each other, you know. But the question is, on Facebook Live, those of you watching, you know, whether, irregardless of how you feel about politics or Trump or anything, but is, will De Niro, you know, and I, well, the first thing I thought was these award shows don't, you know, they've turned into a, you know, for the most part, nobody watches them anymore, right?
Yeah, it's just.
I mean.
Name only. And name only.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like. I never. I'm not gonna. Oh, I stopped watching him because I don't like Trump. No, I never really liked watching him in the first place. You know what I mean? Who wants to see somebody go up there? Oh, it's thank you so much. You know.
I like when they went overtime and they get cut off by the
music.
That would make
you wish you could do that in life. You know, when somebody's spending too much time, like you know, like when you're after a show and you're selling merch, and people just keep talking to you, and you're like, people are walking by, and you want to sell more shirts, and you're like, you wish you could just like. I'm gonna put like a little juke. I'm gonna put a little a sound, like a little, you know, a little a fucking boombox on my desk. Or somebody on a table, I sell merch. Somebody's kid sticks around, like, okay, it's time to go.
Slowly increasing in volume.
Yeah, have it work that way. Anyway,
works.
Yeah, so you know, Robert De Niro, and it'll definitely affect people watching these fucking shows. You know, nobody wants, you know. Again, just like in NFL, you know, people, I don't care what anybody does. I don't care if you take a knee, do whatever you fucking want. It's your life. I am not. I don't want anybody telling me what to do.
Right.
Right? If I'm not doing anything wrong and shit, I don't want somebody to say, hey, you know, stop doing podcast. You know, what the fuck? I mean, you can't tell me to do that. You know, yeah, I'm going to do whatever the fuck I want. You want to take a knee? Take a knee. I don't care. You want to sit there? I don't care what the fuck you do during the national anthem. I really don't. You know, I didn't serve in the army. I didn't, you know what I mean? I didn't fight in a war and get shot at so your fucking pussy ass, you know, could make some, whatever, fine.
Some political point.
Do whatever you want. It doesn't matter to me, okay? I'm just a realist. And that, you know, the NFL's numbers were down. Why? Because you're politicizing a sport. You're mixing politics. That's like taking a beer and putting it in your fudge ice cream. Two good things by themselves, but together, you know what I mean? No, I don't. That's the bottom line. That's the fucking bottom line. And the other part of that is, it's you know, the cop. You see the video of the cops in Mesa, Arizona, where that guy was on the phone,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
The cops come off an elevator. Now, you know, listen. If I'm standing there, first of all, I'm on the balcony of, I'm hanging out in an apartment, and I'm just sitting there, you know, and four cops walk out, almost tactical gear. I'm going to be like, what the fuck is going on, right? And then if they start talking to me, like, oh, what's up? You know, I'm going to put my phone away. You know what I mean? Unless I'm just a dick.
Try to show some kind of respect for
Well, you know, what the fuck is... I'd be concerned. Like, this is where I live. If this is where I live, I'm going to... What the fuck? You know what I mean? Like, what's going on? And then they start talking to the guy. And he's like, oh, yeah, he's still talking on the phone. Who are you fucking talking to? Warren Buffett? You buying stock? What the fuck? You know what I mean?
He was on Messenger with Jay-Z.
And here's the irony that it really... All right. It was the two-year anniversary of the Pulse nightclub shooting in Orlando, right? 40-something people, or was it more? It was a big number.
It was 50-something.
50-something kids were killed. People were killed in that nightclub when a gay Muslim kid that decided. Couldn't come out of the closet. He had all these demons in himself. So he thought he would just jump on the ISIS bandwagon. You know, he couldn't do something else. You know, he tried to join other clubs. He tried to join, like, the Dungeons & Dragons club.
They didn't let him in.
Then they tried to get into the chess club, but he didn't know how to play. So he's like, fuck, I got to join something. I'm going to join ISIS.
Let's go with ISIS.
Yeah.
Easy to spell.
Yeah, I can't, you know, it almost spells backward. It's sissy backwards. Isn't it?
It is.
It is. ISIS is sissy backwards.
I never even put that together.
Well, I'm the first. Check it out. They're doomed. You know, that's what they're going to listen to this podcast. Somebody in Afghanistan in Iraq and listens to. We got like 4 or 5 hits a month coming out of that part of the world.
The squigglies with the dots, right?
Yeah, I see it on my Google. You know, on the stats I get from Podbean, and there's some people in Saudi Arabia. What's up, everybody in the kingdom? And you know, some people in Iran. I don't know if it's Iran. No, it's in India.
Okay.
And I think it's Afghanistan. India. It might be Afghanistan, I think. It seems like it's coming from a cave. You know, I smell heroin and poppy seeds when I look at that stat.
I feel like I'm floating when I'm talking to these people.
Yeah. And you know, just like they're gonna go back. Oh, this guy in Florida in the United States, he found out that ISIS is Sisi backwards.
We are doomed.
Whose idea was this? Whose pussy idea was this?
Fuck Obama.
Obama, by the way, is said to be gathering up 2020 potentials. They're all meeting together.
Yeah.
And you know, if you really want to learn how to run a country, you know, go sit down with Obama and find out
potential criminals, potential Gitmo.
Yeah. I don't know. At any rate, so anyway, back to it. You know, how do you guys feel about it, De Niro? Look, like I said, say whatever the fuck you want.
Can you imagine being such a dunce as Trump is, right?
Right.
That the sitting president needs to hire an FBI spy to make sure you don't beat them.
Yeah. I know this is going to be hard to grasp for those of you on the left. But all this time that you're wondering and how it's going to what's going to happen, you know, with this collusion shit, it's just going to be really funny when people on the left side, because it's starting to happen. You know, they have more of these emails from those two FBI agents that, you know, their shit is just incriminating.
Just ridiculous.
It's digging deeper holes. Yeah, they spied on it. They tried to keep and they put things in place in case he became president. So the American public needs to be aware that it doesn't matter if we vote anymore. What matters is who really wants to be in control. And those people that really want to be in control are swinging the pendulum towards the way they want. And the thing that's amazing, and if anybody, when somebody says, what do you like about Trump? I'm going to say it's simple, because here's a guy that had no fucking chance. Nobody thought he was going to do it. He had no fucking chance. He beat like 18 people in the Republican Party to get the nomination. And even after that, with all this fucking Obama administration interference and this shit, he still fucking beat that dumb fucking wench, useless Clinton.
Piece of shit.
Fuck Clinton. Okay? And by the way, her husband's not doing a good job for bolstering the case of the Clintons. I'm not going to apologize to...
He's giving up, basically.
Yeah, he's like, you know... Like,
I'm tapping. That's it.
Conspiracy theorist there, Ciro. Someone said that Andrew Bourdain, the guy who committed suicide recently, he may have had some secrets on Hillary, and he said so he had some interesting tweets, And all of a sudden, they find him hanging?
Well, they said that he had an interview with Elon Musk. And Elon Musk had just pulled out of that AI, you know, the
right.
networking of all that. And they were talking, and he was coming to grips with things that he realized as he traveled the world.
Right.
Some things that he goes, well, you know, you just take things for granted. That's the way things are. And then
right.
you think about it, and he was about to come out pretty clean. And it's just a shame.
Well,
you know, he committed suicide.
What's up, Mark? Buster Douglas.
And some other Clinton campaign foundation?
Yeah, well, listen, they're not going to be anything anyway anymore. At this point, they're dead. They're gone. Anybody who's still... Listen, I'm gonna make a promise to our listeners. No, I'm never going to mention Clinton again. How do you like that?
Oh, man.
Unless it comes up and something happens, you know what
it's
I mean?
It's all on me, guys.
You got to bring it up.
I'm the one.
I'm not going to bring it up. I don't know what I mean?
I'm talking about it.
Yeah. I was at Porky's, by the way. Thanks, everybody, at Porky's Comedy Club out in St. Cloud, Florida this weekend. Had a lot of fun shows. And, you know, they asked me how was the crowds. Well, they were good old boys, and there were a lot of Republicans in that audience.
Which are fun.
Yeah. They had one guy, felt bad on Saturday night show. We had this guy talking, and I guess the middle was having a hard time with it and the heckling. And the guy was just, you know, one of those people that talk when you're new. They talk to you like you're in the middle of a set, and they start saying shit right, you know. And they're about to throw the guy out. And it was just, that's a challenge. When you're a comic, you got to learn to deal with that. Lisa Lampanelli freaked out. Did you see the video they just released today?
No, I didn't miss
that one. Fucking freaked out on somebody. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
If any of you want to try to help me, help. Like, you know, because sometimes when you're dealing with a heckler, sometimes people try to jump in and like, you know, don't worry, I got this.
Yeah,
I don't
they're trying to save you.
Yeah, I got this. Don't worry about it.
Hecklers are not helpful, no matter if they're trying to help or not.
I love when they say that. Like, I was just trying to help the show. And, you know, I put this on the Tavolino's, no shouting out at the comics while they're on there. If your face is not on the poster outside the window, no one came to hear you.
That's a good one.
You know what I mean? But unfortunately, there was no posters up at Tavolino's for the Jim Florentine show.
Lots of talking, huh?
So this brings us into the thing of suicide, too. You know what I mean? So, you know, this guy, a lot of people and... you know, I've been depressed. I've suffered. There's times I get fucking depressed. You know, mm-hmm. You've thought of suicide, haven't you? Like, you know,
not
like actually doing it. Like you've thought like, wow, this sucks. I wish, you know,
not since I started doing comedy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get it all out. I don't know if you've ever seen my set.
Oh yeah, that's true. You do get a lot of that.
I'm left with nothing.
Yeah. I mean, there's times that, you know, like my parents were sick. You know, there's times like that. And I just got frustrated and shit, you know. It was times like I was like, oh, you know. But then it was a passing, you know, like, and like I got the rope and threw it over the, you know.
Right, you didn't like almost get there, and then
he gets a spade scarf and throw it over the fucking doorknob.
You're not a cutter or nothing, are you?
No, I'm not a cutter. I'm not. There's nothing about me cut. Trust me. So, yeah. I mean, again, if you like, I felt bad, you know, the comic Matt Heath. He mentioned on stage he was thinking about killing himself. That's why I had him in last week. I had thought, yeah, now he really is going to kill himself.
Now after you're re-mentioning it.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you hear people talk about it, you know, and you know people from stage, usually that's their release. They're not really thinking that way. That's just their shock value.
But something, listen, I understand why entertainers, you know, because, like, this business is all about that. Like, Saturday night show... Over at Porky's, man, it was fucking, it was epic. I had a great night. I did an hour and 15 minutes.
Wow.
And I was just fucking with the crowd. I was making up shit. I got my new fat guy aqua shirt joke that's killing again. You know, I got like a new 10 minutes.
Right.
That's in my set now, and I'm happy as fuck. I feel like I just gave birth, you know, and I'm in a good mood.
Coming
you know?
In the second show.
And it, yeah. But, yeah. But then once you walk off that, then you're like, okay, I got to drive, you know. And then there's other parts of your life. As a comic, there's nothing better than watching hundreds of people laugh at you, or laugh with you, whatever you want to say. You're making people
right.
happy, and then all of a sudden, you know, you find yourself at a 7-Eleven and there's no bazooka gum. Like, what the fuck?
Such extremes.
I'm just saying.
And not even generic. Bazooka gum, huh?
Yeah, I like bazooka. Well, yeah, I was going to say something like Wacky Wafers.
Joe Blow.
You ever get a Wacky Wafers?
No, not in a long time.
Wacky Willy Wonka's Wacky Wafers, man. Watermelon flavor? Oh, my God.
I like Rolos.
Oh, the caramel chocolate caramel ones? Things. My mom used to like those. But yeah. I did caramel with all this dental work doesn't go well with me.
No, but if you need lockjaw, it's perfect.
Yeah, you want to keep... That's a good way to shut somebody up. Give them a Rolo.
Here's your Rolo.
Hey, man. Buddy. Hey, man, why don't you eat a couple Rolos?
That's my new heckler thing. Here, have a Rolo.
Yeah. That'd be funny on stage. Hey, somebody get this guy some Rolos.
I heard a good one. It's like someone's messing with you, and you're like, does your ass get jealous of the shit that comes out of your mouth?
That was good. It was funny, though, because I was in the back. I was in the green room when this was all going down, you know, and it was just like, but then, you know, the guy battled, the feature did well. He battled me, you know, he came back and he went, got through it, but it was like, you know, and the only bit of advice I got is once he got things going again, don't go back to the guy, you know, right. Never go back to them.
Right.
If they open their mouth, do what you need to do, but never go, you know, unless you're going in for the kill, you know, unless you're really going in like, look, I'm going to drill this thing down to the point where the guy's going to be, you know, pissing himself.
Right.
And wanting to walk out of here in complete, you know, embarrassment.
Or hit him with the mic stand.
Or give him some Rolos.
Give him a Rolo.
Hey, give this guy some Wacky Taffy. You know, that's what I'm going to do
that's
for all my bad
nice
hecklers.
To watch a comic be able to handle it, the magic of it.
Yeah.
Twist it back around.
Oh, yeah. And that's, you know, that's part of being polished. That's like anything. It's like if you're a rock and roll band, the real good rock and roll bands back in the day, they toured the country for fucking years. You know, they had stories to write. They had things to say. Yeah. They dealt with stuff. You know, I got up there. As soon as I walk out there, there's like a Jack Daniels, like a high top table with a little Jack Daniels stool. And I walked up. I leaned up against it, like pretty much putting 80% of my weight up against it. Yes, it was a strong table. And I'm leaning up against it. And I just kind of this look on my face like, yeah, I was in the back watching, hearing the show and everything that's going on. This is going to be fucked up. It's going to be a fucked up. And then people saw, you know, and I sat there like indifferent, like I was just like silence, like people are like, all right, what's going on? And I had, you know, I knew right then I had him.
Right.
You know what I mean?
You gave him
silence. And I was just sitting there going, whatever. Yeah. I go, well, I'm in a good mood. And I opened with my joke. And from that moment forward, no crowd work. I did 15 minutes of just smack him in the fucking face material. And it worked because that's what happened, you know? Right. Matt, hey, what's up, buddy? Since my name was mentioned, I thought I'd shamelessly promote my podcast on your thread. Yeah, man, go listen to it, by the way. We had a lot of listeners. We had a lot of people watching. Like I said, Facebook Live, it's the most watched. We had like we're approaching 700 fucking views.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
We're getting big time, guys.
That's right. But don't kill yourself, Matt. But, I mean, after the other night at the Trey Blaise, you maybe should have.
Did you? Yeah. How'd that go? How'd you like that room?
It was loud. I mean, it's a very difficult room. You know, not a Deems room out there in Delray Beach. You know, great place, crazy. Nice food, fun people, great people that work there. But you know, it's got its challenges, like tile floors, high ceilings, and your audio is not backed up to a wall. It's backed up to a half wall, like a divider wall. So that sounds going. So
a lot of reverberation,
you know, and one person, this older guy came up to me after, he goes, you're the only ones that I can understand what the fuck you were saying. and it's because when I was in that room, like whenever you're in a room that big where you have that much sound bouncing around, right, you got to speak slower.
Yeah.
You got to speak like, if I was going to speak like this, if I was going to speak like this, you got to do that. You got to change your fucking pace, man. And, you know, it's loud. It's echoey and shit. So you can't just, like, talk over yourself. So, but it was fun. We had a good time there and, you know.
Yeah, the first show he put on was really good. The crowd was so cool.
Yeah. Well, they said this was the best show. So I just went, no. I love when somebody says that. Like, you work on a comic, like, oh, they said this was the best show they ever had. And you're like, motherfucker, I was on a show a couple months ago, bitch. You know, you know what I mean? They think about when you...
The crowd, though, I mean, they had a bunch of regulars there the first
yeah,
night.
Yeah, because we didn't have as many people as I think the first show.
And it was, you know, there was like a bachelorette party going on. And
oh, man.
Going on. Yeah, it was.
There was a table in the back that. Here's a little bit of crowd. Here's a little bit of like how you deal with, not a really heckler, but a situation. First of all, when you're in a restaurant, not a club, you got to realize you can't be mean to people.
No. Nope.
It's a restaurant. If you're sitting in a fucking comedy club and people are talking, that's different. But the back table that night on Thursday, there was like younger people. There were like 10 people, and people would come in. They'd hug and shit and big greetings, like they haven't seen each other in fucking years or since the war. So by the time I got up there, you know what you got to do is you got to get the audience on your side, right?
Yeah, you can't. Yeah.
So there was this young lady sitting in the back. Just in front of that table, and I'm like, and I said, I'm sorry, sweet girls, you're having a hard time hearing me, right? And I said, well, that table behind you, the only thing they could do worse is like walk in here with a fucking, like practicing their cymbals, you know, like they're here for cymbal practice, like walking, like fucking with their, like a tuba, some trump, near the brass section back there. You know, and it's like, and then they paid attention to me. I'm like, I know it's hard.
Stop.
I know, I really feel bad. I know it's hard, just like this. I know it's hard for you to hear the show. With all that noise, with all that talking back there, but I apologize. But it is a restaurant. They obviously didn't know there was going to be a show in here.
Delicate way of saying, "Hey guys,
yeah,
pay attention."
Trying to tell you, shut the fuck up. And then you always get that one person. Sometimes you have these situations in a comedy club or especially a restaurant where they're doing a show, where you have that one guy who knows the show's going on, right? And he just talks loud, like he's the same douchebag that acts like he's on the phone when he's not.
Yeah,
he's acting like, oh yeah, I got this big deal coming up, and I'm gonna go to Hollywood and Vegas, and did I tell you I banged that girl? You remember the girl who drove that Ferrari?
He was on Bluetooth before it was invented.
Yeah. Oh, dude, we were at the gym today, and this morning, yeah, I was at the fucking gym, and I worked out, and so I'm at the gym, and. And there was this guy like talking to himself, and that's the first thing I thought. He's probably got Bluetooth. No, he didn't. He didn't have a fucking phone. He walked in like he was going to get ready to fight Rocky Balboa. I was on the exercise bikes, and he came walking in like, you know, like he was getting all hopped up and shit to work out. And I thought it was weird. So then when my wife and I were walking to the car, this guy's walking out. And he's having this conversation like, you know,
straight.
And I'm like, that guy's talking to himself. This guy's a fucking. My wife goes, he probably got a. No, I fucking know. I already checked that.
Self-critiquing his own workout,
dude. He was just You know, it's one thing if you talk. Sometimes once in a while, you'll say something like, "Oh, I shouldn't have eaten all that." You know what I mean? Sometimes you have to talk to yourself. But this was a situation. This guy wasn't just talking to himself. This guy was debating with himself. He was like. I mean, you know, this guy can't be well.
No.
How the fuck, you know what I mean?
I guess that's a new side effect of steroids, you know what
no,
I mean?
No, this guy was not on steroids, dude. This guy was on Freenoids. Litmus paper. I'm telling you if that makes sense. What's up, Donna? And you know what I'm saying? But people are fucking crazy, man.
They're not getting any saner.
I think, if anything, you know what? We ought to do something. We ought to be like, we should be a fascist government. We should interview every citizen in this country. Every citizen in this country should sit down and be interviewed and be evaluated a value number. You know what I mean? Like 1 to 20. You know, it's going to be hard. Like 1 to 50. Maybe 1 to 100. There's so many people. 300 million people are 1 to 100. And anybody who's in the bottom 10, just get rid of these fucks.
Just let them go.
Just fucking, hey, there's a room over there.
Put them on a raft.
You guys are going to go on a trip to Hawaii. Yeah. You're going to get a nice suntan.
To the Big Island.
Yeah, we're going to take you to the Big Island and push you in, fuckers. Right? Just get rid of it. You know, there's 10% of the population that just don't mean that they're useless.
They are useless, right?
And then, but here's the other part. Then you got these people that think they're more important. Do you see that video of that guy who was throwing the homeless guy shit in the river?
No.
Where was it? Anybody on Facebook remember the video? It was this guy was like jogging or something. I think it was in California. It was definitely in California somewhere. And the guy was so mad because these homeless people are all living around there. And it's interrupting his jog. He wants to have a nice. Yeah, hey, I jogged through here. I don't want to smell piss, you know? And he's getting mad at the guy. So he took all. He starts throwing shit away. He starts throwing his shit in the river.
In the river.
What the fuck? You're polluting the river with this guy's shit. And you're fuck. What a douche.
making a bad situation 10 times worse.
So not only do you have to deal, like, so now that you got to get, we got to get rid of these people that are just complete, like, fucking hoople heads.
Okay.
You know what I mean? There's got to be a category of hoople heads.
The hoople head clause.
The hoople heads. You know, these, you know, just dumbasses. Just get rid of these fucking people. So if you score, you know what I mean? So, I don't know.
Make it a lot easier to make it in comedy.
Hmm. Big day, by the way, as we speak, President Trump is meeting in Singapore with Kim Jong-un. And I love when people, this is what's going to happen. You don't know what the fuck is going to... Anybody... This is one of the first times where people are like, well, we don't really know what's going to happen, but probably... Our friend Ron Bo, you know, that genius.
First time in history.
You know, the comic, well, he's a comic, I guess, down here in South Florida. Ron Bo.
Never heard of
him.
He
says, this is what's going to happen. Trump's going to do this. This is going to... Are you... How fucking full of yourself? Go work on your computers, dude.
People,
you know what I mean?
People usually read that Politico, and they think they're the smartest people on the planet now.
Hey, Lori, thanks for listening. Glad you're listening as well. Yeah, listen.
Or PolitiFact. That's my favorite one.
Kim Jong-un. And the only people that kind of know what's going to happen are Trump and Kim Jong-un.
And neither one of them know what's going to happen.
Well, they kind of think they want to know. You know what I mean?
They know what they want to accomplish.
But if you just got home from your job, you know, I don't care. I don't care if you're a teacher, you fucking public works, you know, you're an accountant. And all of a sudden you open your Facebook and you're like, oh, Trump's going to meet with him. Okay. Well, this ain't going to happen. Go the fuck. Like, you know, and like we were talking about before the show, you know, what's amazing is that when people, like, if you're a true American, you should be saying, irregardless of who's dealing with it, you should be saying, man, I hope this works out to be something positive.
Yeah.
But there are actually people out there that don't want this to work out well just because of their spite and vindictiveness to the current president.
And it all comes down to my personal favorite of it all. I think people are serious. Jealous. Some say it's not jealousy, but there's a thin line between love.
There's
and
a
hate.
Bottom. I have a lot of my friends who are on the left. Okay, and you know, and again, same group. I have a lot of my friends who are normal folks that, you know, we can have a debate without calling each other fucking names.
No.
And that, right? No, I got friends like that. These are well balanced individuals, you know, not these people that. You know, I was on Facebook on the other day.
Half-cocked.
I was on Facebook the other day, and somebody posted the photo. It's been circulating out there about some lady has a paper up that says, this is how big the hole is, or this is the kind of hole that an AR-15 bullet will cause. Why would you need an AR-15? And I put, in case somebody treaded on me or my family, and I need to put a hole in them that fucking big.
Right.
You know, and then some guy says, and one of the kids who posted something, he's a smart kid, he goes, look, fine. If you can do whatever you want about it, everybody's got a hard on with AR-15s. If you got rid of them, they're still gun. They're still going to be violent. You're never going to get. It's not going to stop anything. Just let's be realistic. I've been in armed security work and stuff. I've been in a few firefights. Okay, and gunshot. I've been shot at. And I had guns in my. I can tell you right now, okay, that if I had two handguns and four clips. You know, I'm not talking about revolvers. I'm talking about, you know, 13, 12 type regular clips you stick in a Glock. You know, I could take out 40, 50 people in a minute or two if I had two handguns. If I had an AR-15 and I'm in a close quarters, that sucks. I got to fucking have the...
Yeah,
you know,
it's not
I could get jumped. You could
gun.
Jump a guy with an AR-15. So my point was, it doesn't fucking matter. You know what I mean? It doesn't fucking matter at all. That's my point. And then some guy just in that post goes, you're a dumb fuck, this and that. And I go, I told the guy, I said, you know, one of these days you're going to be cowering in a corner, pissing yourself and realizing that your stupid words and your fucking feeble, your idiotic fucking opinions don't matter.
What makes me laugh is the AR-15 is not the best gun. It's not the tacticalist gun. It's not the one that's going to make everybody die in a whole situation like that. Yet, everybody's scared of it. It has worked. It has done its job.
Right.
It's done everything that you could possibly
it's
want
a
gun to do.
It's a 22 caliber rifle. It's like any hunting rifle.
But what I'm saying is everybody's scared shitless of it, right?
Yeah.
Why? Just because it looks that way. That's
it's scary
it.
Looking. It's all. It's like putting fancy rims on a fucking Hyundai.
Winner chicken dinner, in my opinion.
Yeah. Listen, if you want to do damage, you know, the kids in Colorado, right? The kids, that's the first thing they did. They had shotguns and handguns.
They had it all.
You know what I mean? Plenty. If you have clips, you don't need. It doesn't matter what the fuck you're shooting. And you know, if I'm in close quarters and I have two handguns and two people try to take the gun away from me, they're going to go down pretty quick. Yeah, but if I got a rifle in my hand, that's the only thing I could shoot, and somebody tries to, I'm going to have to use the, I'm going to try to hit them with it. You know, you got to, you can't shoot everybody. Rifle, if you want to take out people, if you're at a, if you had a, you know, like the guy in fucking Vegas, that weapon, you know, you can't
that's
use a handgun.
A sniper's nest
right
there.
That's much different. You know, but I just love when people who have no experience with anything talk out of their ass. And I told the guy, I said, what the fuck you're saying? You obviously have never been in it. You have no idea what the fuck you're talking about. And then you have the nerve to call me a fucking ass. You know what I mean?
It's,
who the fuck, you know, these people. So
it's beyond nerve at this point.
I have friends, of course, that they'll say, look, I hope this thing, whatever happens, I hope it works out. The G7, the big meeting, right? The big G7. This is terrible. Oh, this is what you call playing fucking hardball. Why are, I'm just surprised. He's not going to go in there and go, oh, it's okay, you know. And by the way, I love, thank you, it's karma's a bitch.
Karma's
but Prime Minister Trudeau, I love your fake eyebrows, buddy. And they tried to cover it up. They tried to say it was a camera angle or something. This guy's got fake eyebrows.
It's shadows.
It's a shadow. Yeah, it's a shadow that moves irregardless of the point of light or the, you know, where the where the fucking source of light is coming
Look,
from.
It's the moon landing again.
Yeah. Do you see that guy's fucking eyebrow falling off?
Yeah.
That was the funniest fucking thing.
I mean, is it really hot in Canada? Is that what's going on?
Why don't you have eyebrows, man? And you know what? As a guy, if you don't have eyebrows, what are you wearing panties underneath this?
I think he might be.
You know?
A little Blue Oyster Bar.
Yeah, I mean, he's a looker. Everybody loves him because he's handsome and shit, you know? And he's so smooth. But, oh, my God, with the Secretary of Affairs, with the Trump said to him, there's a place in hell for that guy.
Yeah.
That was pretty strong.
I like the way they defend him after, you know what I mean? They're not defending him before something bad happens, but when somebody crosses us, they're
right.
Like, listen.
Right.
Only we're allowed to make fun of the president here. You guys got to stop it.
Come on, you're from Canada, for God's sakes.
I love that War of 1812. Controversy. Yeah. That was great.
Yeah.
Didn't you guys burn down the White House? No, but you thought about it, didn't you?
Yeah. That was bad, though.
Well, yeah, but it was funny because he was obviously just shooting shit back and forth with the guy. Like, that's what I don't get. Like, you can tell when someone's being diplomatical and trying to be serious with you.
Right.
And then when someone says something so off the wall that everybody has to question it like that.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think there's a calculation to that? Maybe he planned to say it wrong.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I mean, listen, I voted for Trump and stuff, but he's still, you know,
I'm not going to defend, you know, everything he says.
But that's the thing. Don't let the facts get in the way of a good story, right? Sometimes you don't have to be exact. You know, I'm making a point here. You know what I mean? I'm trying to make a point with fucking non-logic.
my point is you can tell when someone's kind of kidding with you. You know what I mean? He's not being completely genuine with his response.
Right. He's on social media. He's not doing a term paper.
And if you didn't have Google, you wouldn't have known the 1812 reference anyway. So let's be real.
Yeah, everybody's so smart nowadays. You know, because they can look it up. They didn't know before they looked it up. You know what I mean? I'll admit, I'm becoming stupid. I forget how to spell receive. Is it the I, the E?
I before
you know,
I'm
so used to my technology checking everything for me that when I'm on something that I can't, like when I put the blog for the podcast, it doesn't do spell check. So I really have to fucking worry about how I'm spelling.
I'm pretty sure autocorrect was invented to cause war.
Yeah. No, autocorrect is there because of the Illuminati. So we all become stupid and they can tell us what to do. And listen, on the big picture, with wrapping back up to we opened the show with Robert De Niro saying "fuck Trump," I don't give a fuck what he did. You know, he's an actor. You know, I like him as an actor. I liked his roles and what he did. But now he's grown to be an old grumpy old fuck. You know, and he didn't get his way. Somebody posted a photo of him being helped out of a boat, which was hilarious. The Raging Bull is so tough guy. He's a big tough guy. He needs help like a 4-year-old getting out of a boat. So, you know, here's the thing, whether it's athletes or these fucking actors, you know, and like using their positions to create like a following based on just their simple opinion.
Basically.
You know? I mean, I heard, what's his name?
Their clout.
I heard him on Stern this morning, the guy who does Baldwin.
Alec
Baldwin.
Alec.
You know, and he, of course, he's not a Trump. He's saying, I'm still doing the impression until he gets impeached. And I'm like, well, everybody's got goals, you know? I mean, I understand it. They don't like the guy.
Hey, that's an 8-year job. That's how I look at it.
Yeah.
You know,
that's what I told my friend Bob, who does his impressions. Bob DiBueno does. It's a great impression of him, man. And I said, dude, you're set. You better hope he gets reelected. You know?
You get your niche. What was that? Alan Newcomb does it, too?
Yeah. Alan's going to be doing a show with us in Key West coming up with you.
Sweet.
And now, for your dining and dancing pleasure, some international and domestic news you may or may not believe. It's Straight from the Headlines with Dougie Almeida.
Yeah. It's time for Straight from the Headlines, where we talk about things from around the world and make fun of them. Unlike the shit we were just talking about.
Yeah, we had no...
Yeah. I mean, it's not supposed to be funny when an actor goes up and says, fuck the president. Yeah, it's not supposed to be funny.
Wow.
What is funny is when a prime minister of Canada's eyebrow falls off.
That's supposed to be
funny. And he's supposed to be all cool and James Bondy. You never saw James Bond eyebrow fall off. Okay? Let's get something straight. That's the fucking difference between Canada, England, and the United States. You know, a Canadian double agent, spy agent, his fucking eyebrow's gonna fall off.
That's
right?
A good comedy.
And he's probably got one of those fake like underwear things to make his dick look bigger. You know these things exist.
The cock holsters.
They have a fucking underwear you can wear to make your dick look like you got a big bulge.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow, who the fuck's gonna admit that? It's like, that's gonna be a hard marketing thing, you know? It's like marketing for premature ejaculation.
That's a double entendre.
Yeah.
Hard marketing.
Yeah, well, thank you. Hey, right. First story, lottery winner uses winking emoji mask to stay anonymous. This is funny. This woman, great idea, right? You know, when you win the lottery, you know, the first thing is you want a lot of people to know because you want to get robbed, but then you want all your fucking family to come after you.
You want to stay completely off
the air. If I win the lottery, I'm going to wear a t-shirt that says no. This is a big
no.
It's gonna, so I'm gonna have a jacket on. So people go, can I borrow? No.
That's not
it's my money. Yeah, it's funny. This lady won the lottery, and she wanted to stay, you know, incognito. A Jamaican woman who won a $1.4 million lottery jackpot went viral on social media for using a winking emoji mask to hide her identity. The winner, identified only as N. Gray, showed up for a press conference with a Super Lotto organizer, Supreme Ventures LTD, wearing an emoji mask to maintain her anonymity. Supreme Ventures posted photos from the press conference on Twitter. The face you make when you become a super millionaire. Well, 1.7 is not really super. I mean,
or 70, and then you won 1.7. That's a super.
Yeah,
you're a super millionaire.
The company said the winner allowed online lottery fans to choose her disguise in a poll. Gray, who won her prize in May 11th Super Lotto game, said doesn't plan to quit her job, but she is looking forward to using some of the winnings on a cruise. Everybody wants to take a fucking cruise when they win money.
What do you think the other masks were?
Yeah, like Freddy Krueger, Robert De Niro, Trump.
Trump. Baldwin.
Alec,
like,
Baldwin.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah, both of them.
Yeah, didn't Alec get in a bunch of trouble not too long ago, like for like berating somebody and
his
being
daughter.
Rude? Yeah, that. And
you're a fucking pig.
Yeah.
Oh, nice guy.
Yeah, that's the guy.
Can I have some advice, Alec?
Well, we're talking about elections and stuff, but here's a story. South Dakota sheriff... you got to be elected. Our sheriff, this guy here, Israel, he's still around. They got to get rid of that guy.
They have to.
Listen, all this shit that happened in this fucking school. You know what I mean? There was something behind this.
Yeah. Well,
it was too much. This is 10 years from now. Oliver Stone's going to write a movie about this.
They just released his self video or whatever.
Right.
Him walking around telling everybody he's going to do it. Like,
right.
Come on. You tell me that back in the day you could put a dollar bill on a photocopier and get a visit from the FBI.
Right.
And this guy can't get caught by the FTC.
He's doing fucking videos. He's the next killer.
Shut up.
South Dakota sheriff loses re-election and fires the winning deputy.
Oh, wow.
South Dakota sheriff wanted a whole minute after polls, waited a whole minute after polls closed to fire a deputy who undid his re-election bid this week. Bonhomme County Sheriff's Lenny Gramkow fired Deputy Sheriff Mark Maggs after Maggs defeated him by a vote of 878 to 331 in the big town, it seems.
Wow.
In Tuesday's Republican primary election, Maggs posted his time-stamped termination notice signed by Gramkow on Facebook after the polls closed.
Now that's revenge quick.
Right? As of this moment, you are no longer an employee of the Bonhomme County Gramkow. Wrote, he didn't give a reason for firing South Dakota, firing him. He's a dickhead. That's all I need.
You don't need reasons for that.
He beat me. So that's the thing. See, that's what happened in the last election. Now people, once they lose, it's not over. People think they could fuck. Could you imagine if that happened in real sports? Can you imagine if, like, you're playing basketball? Could you imagine if the fucking Cleveland Browns or Cleveland Cavaliers were like, I'm going to protest this win because, you know, there was some collusion here.
Yeah, the referees colluded.
The referees colluded. You know, Durant colluded with.
There were strings tied to every basketball shot they shot.
Yeah.
Went right in the hole. God, he played like shit, by the way.
Who?
Did you see LeBron's last game?
Oh, yeah. Listen.
Oh, my God.
Again, I'm going to say this because this has been going around about him and Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan never fucking had cramps. Michael Jordan never bitched so much and complained to referees. Right? Yeah,
Michael Jordan never called himself the greatest.
No.
That's why he's the greatest.
Yeah. It's that simple. Okay? This guy will not... He's great. LeBron James is great. But he got cramps. Okay? That's all I remember when he had the fucking cramps when he played for the Heat. I got cramps.
I had cramps. I can't go out.
Go get a fucking tampon, you pussy. Now, enough of this story, right? Good for them.
Transgender, are you, James?
No, he's a bellyacher. Every time he gets, he's always like this. I hate people... You know, it's like soccer players. One of the things I hate about soccer players when they fake, like, you know, they fall down easy and shit.
Right.
It's a big problem in professional soccer in Europe. Like, they keep faking like they're getting tripped. You know? And those people should be ejected from the game. You want to stop that shit, just eject these fuckers from the game. What's up, Peter Kramer?
A pink card for them.
Yes, a pink card. Pussy card. You get a pink card. And you got to leave the game and go hang out and have tea with someone.
You got to wear that
someone's grandmother.
Hat the rest
yeah,
of the
you
got
to wear a fucking bonnet, right? You get a pink card, you get a bonnet, and you got to have tea with somebody's grandmother.
Tea and crumpets.
That's right. Some like it not. Marilyn Monroe statue has a church venting. This is a funny story. You know the iconic picture of her when she's holding her dress down,
yeah,
when it's blowing it up. It just so happens that this nice big fucking statue, the ass is pointing right at the church.
Oh, nice.
And the pastor of the church can't stop looking out the window. You know, he's getting feelings.
He's been caught nightly.
Yeah.
Masturbating to Marilyn's ass.
Hartford, Connecticut. Marilyn Monroe's rear is getting some leers in Connecticut. A 26-foot statue of the actress has been placed in a Stanford Park across the street from a church, which is getting a full view of her ass.
Wow. Like up to skirt ass view?
Well, I don't know if Larry Flynn was the fucking sculptor.
Are we getting real Marilyn ass?
The back of the statue showing her underwear is clearly visible from the front of the First Congregational Church of Stanford. Some passerbys this week said it was disrespectful to the church. Most church members have yet to see the statue because they're good and they don't look at shit like that. Because it was just put up on Monday, actually. But so, it's sure that to spark conversation when they return.
So where are the windows in a church? Does anybody remember windows the last time?
And aren't they like the glass windows? Aren't they the
you can't really see through
right,
the stained
right, you can't
glass.
See those things. You're supposed to... Listen, that's all... Let's start a GoFundMe page.
And by the
church.
Way, maybe that's God tempting you. That's
yeah,
like him going...
That's what it's all about.
Don't
you want to be a good Christian? Just don't look at that ass. Stop looking at that ass.
Back that ass up.
Matt says, I was just told by the grand poobah of comedy, Nadeem Awad, that I was disrespectful of me to promote myself on your thread. Excuse my bad neck. Yeah, well. Yeah. I mean, you know.
It's, you knew that it was.
I don't give a fuck. You know what I mean? We do it, you know. By the way, go to NTU Wine Bar tonight in Del Rey. That's Nadim's spot.
The Grand Poobah.
Yeah, I was there last week. I'm tired. I'm going away. Me and Chris Priester are co-headlining Funny Stop this Thursday through Saturday in Cuyahoga Falls, just outside Akron. So I'm going to be chill with the lady tonight and tomorrow night, do some...
I'm going to make my O face.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. You are Ellen, if I am someone unknown, lesbian, my bad. Yeah. All right, buddy. Just don't kill yourself. Where was I? Yeah, so, you know, back to the statue. The Reverend Dr. Todd Grant Yokeman, pastor of the First Congregational Church, has a sense of humor about the statue, but said it was an odd artistic choice.
Is it like full color? Like, what color are the panties?
Yeah, I mean, you know what I mean?
We gotta know.
Is it like, did it take like some fake, did it take some fake panty line, you know,
is
a little
thong? Is that what the problem is?
They got some hairs coming out of that?
Brazilian, or is it?
Did you get a Brazilian? Yeah, there was no Brazilians back then.
That in that day. 70s bush right there.
Yeah. Right? Well, did you see the naked photos of her in Playboy?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I did. That's, but you know what? Now, in today's scheme of things,
it's not
this girl's
same.
Hotter on Instagram.
Oh, yeah, fully clothed.
With clothes on.
Oh, hi. Yeah. Is that how you dress for school? Nice.
Yeah. Supermodel's quick flag ends the Canadian Grand Prix one lap early. These fucking Canadians. And she waved Trudeau's eyebrow.
He doesn't even attend those races.
I can't get over it. It's like his eyebrow is hanging down.
It looked like, you know, that Joe's Apartment movie with the roaches everywhere. It looked like a roach was just falling right off his. Do you not notice that that's a bug?
That's
on
what
your
the
face?
One that one in the article said. Like, you don't think he would have noticed? if I'm like, well, it was not the camera angle. All right, here's a funny story.
Of course he noticed. You think he would have really stopped? And he went, oh, my God.
Yeah, he's a lizard guy. He's with the Clintons. They're lizard people.
They're lizard underground.
Supermodel's quick flag ends. Canadian Grand Prix one lap early. Sebastian Vettel had an idea something was wrong. But he didn't want to jeopardize anything, especially the safety of the people at the track. The four-time Formula One champion and current points leader says... saw the checkered flag come out on the 69th lap of Sunday's Canadian Grand Prix, even though the race was scheduled for 70.
Wow.
I was a bit confused. I told my team, I don't think the race is over yet, Betty said. Some of the marshals were already celebrating. I was just worried that people don't jump onto the track and start celebrating. That's like in that football game when the band gets on the fucking field. Yeah. And that guy, remember, they're celebrating the win, and the guy ran the fucking kickback and ran over half the band. That fucking dummy with the fucking trombone. You see, the guy with the trombone got crushed. Nothing better than watching a guy with a trombone get fucking hit by a football player in full gear.
You think that was a setup, too, but nope, that really happened.
No.
That was real life funny.
I was a bit, says here.
You fucking imagine how bored that chick had to be to go, you know what? Not this huge race.
Yeah.
I'm calling it.
Well, of course, she blamed other people. The culprit was supermodel Winnie Harlow, who was handed the checkered flag and waved it early.
Little harlot.
Signaling the end of the race. The cars, meanwhile, continued around the track for another lap, despite it not officially counting. Harlow said that she was just following instructions. It wasn't me. She tweeted, accompanied by several emojis, but I'm so grateful no one was hurt. She's a model, but she's got like that discoloration on her face, like white and shit on her legs and stuff. Good for her. The gaffe didn't have any impact on the race outcome. Vettel led from the start to finish at the Circuit Gilles Villeneuve.
So it only affected like cars 300 to...
Yeah, the real fucking losers. The guys in the go-karts. It's the fastest you ever been in a car.
142.
Yeah. It goes up there. 180, something like that. 160. When I was in high school, my dad was fixing cars. He was fixing his Jaguar XJ6. And I took it. I took that car down Southgate Boulevard when it went into nothing over by Don Carter's.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, up to like 130 or 140 or something like I mean, to this day, I think, what the fuck? Imagine if I crashed with my poor dad busting his ass, and I'm the one ruining his car. He caught me one time. He was fixing his Mustang, and I took it for a little ride. Mm-hmm. And the problem was like, it stalled. He hadn't fixed it yet. Yeah. Got stuck. I'm like, Dad, I got to
sucks.
You took the fucking car out, you idiot?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've never, yeah, I always get scared. I mean, where am I going this fast?
All right. Here's another fucking weirdo. All right, man banned from life for bringing a blow-up doll on a flight on an Ibiza plane. Be a Spanish, sounds like a Spanish plane.
Are you going to the island of Ibiza?
Yeah, Ibiza Airlines. A man has been banned for life from flying with Jet 2 after his disruptive and aggressive behavior caused a flight to Ibiza to make an unscheduled stop off in France. The passenger was removed from the flight from Belfast by French police after the pilot was forced to make a landing, a spokesman for the airline said. The plane landed in Toulouse on Friday. Toulouse? With reports the man acted aggressively towards staff and passengers. Jet 2 said the man had been consuming alcohol illicitly, which had contributed to the disgraceful and deplorable behavior. He was fucking the doll.
Was he really fucking the
doll? I'm guessing. Or, you know,
I thought he was committing, like, domestic violence against a doll. Like, he'd beat up a doll. And
no,
like,
this is like a blow-up like, doll.
Stop beating
your
girlfriend.
I mean, can you imagine, what's a guy going to do with a blow-up doll? On a, you know what I mean? What do you think about it? He's going to get, you know, he's gonna, you imagine you look over the seat, some guy's has
himself.
Some a fucking doll blowing him. Oh.
I'm trying to play cards over here. He's blowing himself.
Fellow customers and families traveling for a well-earned holiday should not be subject to this sort of behavior, and we sincerely apologize to all the other customers on that flight, especially those that he came on. We'll be taking further action in support of our crew to ensure the passenger is held accountable for his actions, and indeed, he has already received a lifetime ban from our airline.
Watch out. Delta's next.
The passenger, one passenger, another guy, another angry passenger on the man's flight, said he was seen holding a blow-up doll. The passenger tweeted, nice one, guys. Together with a blow-up doll at 7 a.m. in front of my kids in long queues. Way to go. Yeah, because those things are disgusting looking. You know, the mouth's wide open.
Mm-hmm. Well, mostly open in this case. Kind of full.
Yeah.
Horrible. You imagine if like that was like his bucket list? To fuck a blow up doll.
Yeah, the guy only had a few weeks left to live, and he didn't get in the Mile High Club. He goes, I guess this will count.
This works. I'm counting it.
I was in the Mile High Club. Yeah, you banged a chick, sort of. Kind of a girl.
It was a doll.
She was a real doll.
And
technically,
suspect.
Technically, she had long hair and a vagina. She also could be considered a pool raft.
All right, I fucked a potato. What is going on, sir?
That's crazy. But, you know, that's the thing. Some guy said, fuck, this is a good idea. I'm going to go get on this plane.
Did he have to buy another ticket for the doll, too?
No.
That's why they were pissed. They wouldn't have cared if he
Yeah, you could bring a blow-up doll, but you have to buy her a ticket.
That's not bad, man.
Uber driver boots lesbian couple for kissing in the back seat.
You're goddamn right.
They must have been ugly lesbians.
They were gross. They were gross.
Who the fuck kicks out lesbians that are making out in your car unless they're disgusting looking? Right?
They happen to be lesbians, but they were really men. Nope, get out.
You guys stop kissing. We're lesbians. Uber driver booted a hopping lesbian couple from his car on Saturday after he saw them kissing in the back seat. Next, you're going to be finger banging. Alex Lovin, 26, a Manhattan advertising technology consultant, said that she and her girlfriend, Emma Pickle,
of course that's her name,
mm-hmm, 24, a senior recruiter, hailed the livery to go from a birthday party. These fucking pop-ups.
Jamie Gherkin and Emma Pickle.
Hey, motherfucker, I hate when this happens. All this shit pops up, and I can't find my spot. A party at the bar Pig Beach in Gowanus to another friend's birthday party in East Village about 5 p.m. We were sitting on opposite sides of the car. She said, we leaned for a peck, and that's what it was, a legit peck. Mm. Just a little peck.
Just a little peck.
The PDA was too much, public display of affection. It was too much for the driver, who pulled the car over on Canal Street as it reached the other side of the Manhattan Bridge. The experience opened the couple's eyes to how pervasive prejudice can be. No, or just how disgusting you both are, probably. Actually, they're good-looking chicks. I think I have a photo here. This guy must be gay, then.
Or, yeah.
Right? I mean, what guy doesn't want two girls kissing in the back seat?
I don't want to say it.
No?
Yeah. It's the 2-year anniversary of the Pulse nightclub. We know. We know what they were thinking.
He said, get out of my car! My girlfriend started laughing. She thought it was a joke. She said that they had two drinks at the Gowanus bar. It's always two. Right? When somebody says, I wasn't drinking, I only had two beers.
I only had one, two.
But
two
we're far from drunk. Lovin said she's aware of the Uber's code of conduct, but what was adamant that the two did nothing more than a quick smooch. Well, now it's a smooch.
Yeah.
First you said a peck. Now you're saying a smooch. There's a difference between a peck and a smooch.
It's going to be something different.
He yelled at us for being disrespectful and inappropriate because we pecked on the lips. The driver, Ahmed Al-Batari, 35, was wearing a wrinkled, ill-fitting undershirt and frosted sunglasses and could be seen on the recording opening the door of the car after pulling over on Canal Street to let them out. It's illegal, the driver said after Levine asked for him to be, why are they putting them out? You can't do this in the car. You aren't allowed to do this.
Wow.
I'm getting a boner. The woman pressed him for better explanation for cutting the ride short. Why are we not allowed to kiss an Uber? It's disrespectful. I haven't kissed a good-looking woman in years. The couple became enraged, threatening to call police. Nothing is illegal, one of the women says. It's not illegal to kiss in New York. The grabby cabbie reaches for one of the woman's phones to stop her from videotaping. Said Lovin. Yeah, you don't do that.
Now you've crossed the line.
Yeah, leave your hands to yourself, buddy. He has a pretty. This guy has a pretty clean sheet, supposedly. He goes, I don't give a shit about them. I did what I believe is my freedom. Fuck those lesbians.
Fuck those lesbians.
Albatore, he said the couple were acting crude in his cab. He said one forced the other to smell her armpit.
Okay.
They played loud videos on their phones. One put her feet on his seat and they kissed.
That is definitely more than just a peck.
Yes.
You know what I mean? The story now it comes out.
It makes sense. Like I don't want to say, that's what I'm saying. It smelled funny in the first place. What guy doesn't want to see two hot chicks kissing? They're good looking girls. But smelling armpits? Get the fuck out of my cab.
Did one fart and the other one try to guess what she had for lunch? This is ridiculous.
Yeah.
This is,
you know what I'm saying?
It's going too far. But you had to know.
It's my own car. I don't feel comfortable with them, the driver said. He asked them to stop kissing and to lower the volume of their phones. He also said that he would do the same for a straight couple, but admitted that he has less tolerance for same-sex couples. You shouldn't admit that.
Yep. You're going to lose your argument.
Yep. Just because you won, the baker won that case in fucking...
Maybe.
In Colorado.
It's a bad thing to admit either way.
Yeah. Yeah, so they must have been a bit out of hand.
You know, Chinese finger cuffs, stole mine.
Right.
Going crazy.
They said it was a peck. And what was the other thing she said it was?
Smooch.
A smooch.
It's graduated to smooch.
Because, you know, I don't care what sex, same sex or not, when people are using the tongue and they're kissing, it could be disgusting if you're sitting nearby.
Yeah, well, what
right?
was anger management? It was a peck. No, okay, it was a 5-second Frencher. You know what I mean? It was,
yeah, you know what I mean? I'm going to say, fuck, I would have been the Uber driver, would have pulled over, pulled my drawers down.
I would have been videotaping. Why is he trying?
Fuck yeah. That's don't mind why. Me. The first time my girl and I were with another girl, that's what happened. I had a truck at the time, and we went on one of these pub crawl things.
And just
this girl hooked up with my girl, and they're in the back seat. going at it, and I'm driving back home, and all this is going on. I'm looking in the rearview mirror. It's like my penis turned into the club, the anti-theft device. I got to pull over. I couldn't turn. I drove right into a tennis court.
Talk about having a boot on the tire.
Yeah. So, anyway. Well, that's all you have time for here on the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. I want to thank Ciro Dober for joining us today.
Hey, thanks for having me. Thanks for watching, everyone.
That's right. And tomorrow in the studio, our new co-host, by the way, who's going to be Danny the Jew. He's going to be taking Peter Leonard, by the way, after Peter Leonard. God bless this guy. Legacy here on the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. He's been
thank
on it the longest. The longest anybody's ever been on this show, besides myself, of course. And but Peter has to go get a job. He has to work. So we can't have Peter on here anymore. But he'll come back every once in a while, I'm sure.
The original Dougie Alameda going on. Moving on.
That's right. So Danny the Jew tomorrow, as well as Elgin David, will be here around, I think we're going to do it around 5 o'clock. But stay tuned. We'll keep it posted for that. And that's it, guys. Thanks for listening. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Wake Up Dougie. Join our fan page on Facebook at Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. And, of course, go to our archive site, Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. WakeUpLateWithDougieShow.podbean.com. Be a patron listener. Right on the right. As soon as you go to that page, you have the top show. It says become a patron. If you guys watch the show regularly on Facebook, you can go on there. And if we're entertaining you, give us 50 cents a show. We do 2 a week, right? That's fucking $8 a month.
Yeah, that
something like that.
Every little thing helps, guys. Thank
right?
you so much.
Gas
for what
money
you
goes to these guys for it. And speaking of the devil, Danny joining us here in a minute. See you tomorrow, buddy. And what else do I want to say? Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Dougie Dangerous. And again, I'm going to be in Cuyahoga Falls at Funny Stop this week, Thursday through Saturday. So if you know somebody in the area, share that with them. Come out, and it's just Thursday. Go to DougieAlmeida.com for more dates. Ciro?
Don't forget to check me out at Ciro Comic, and then every Monday night at the 19th Hole Comedy Detour plays it live.
There you go, guys. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you here tomorrow right at the same spot.
People on earth, can you hear me? Came a voice from the sky on a magical night. And in the colors of a thousand sunsets, they travel to the world on a silvery light. The people of the earth stood waiting, watching as the ships came one by one. Setting fire to the sky as they landed, carrying to the world children of the sun. Children of the sun. All at once came a sound from inside. The beam of light hit the ground. To the door, to the world of another time. And on the journey of a thousand lifetimes, with the children of the sun, they started to climb.